موحد چه فولاد هندی نهی بر سرش و چه نهی زر بر پایش حراس خوف و حراس نباشد بکس همین است بنیاد توحید و بس توحید what they speak about توحید and what is the essence of توحید place a sword on his head he's not affected and you throw gold at his feet he's not affected he's not moved خوف و حراس نباشد because he's not afraid with anybody and no does he have hope in any person or anything no hope and no fear these are the two things that drive man either hope or either fear right so he's got no expectation with anybody nor has he got any fear with anybody Amirast bunyad tawheed bas. This is the very essence of tawheed, that you don't have any hope or any fear for anything. Man sent his child to do some specialist course as he specialized. In the olden days, India didn't have these type of institutes where any person could specialize. So he sent him to England. On his return, gave him a very warm welcome, and not even a month had passed where this child had fallen very seriously ill. But the father sat on his bedside and is crying most profusely that I spent millions and millions on your education, and I had that expectation, I had the dream that one day you will become a very prosperous person and I will, because of your prosperity, I will enjoy and I will also be honored because of your honor, because of your prosperity. So, man looks for prosperity in these type of things that are unpredictable by nature. Right? You don't know how it's going to last, whether it's going to come, whether it will work out or not. We don't know about it. So this in itself is not a wise thing that we attach and we hook our hopes into these things. If it's intelligence, then we don't know what turn it will take. Brains, intelligence, wisdom, we do not know what turn it will take. We speak about intelligence and wisdom and experience in circular things, let alone circular things, even in dini matters. وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَنَذْهَبَنَّ بِالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُ لَكَ بِهِ عَلَيْنَا وَكِيلًا إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِّن رَبِّكَ Allah Ta'ala is addressing Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that if it were our will, then that knowledge that we bestowed you through wahi and revelation, we will take that away. We can take that away. Who can come and prevent us? So there isn't a thing that man can be boastful about, that can be confident about, whether it's knowledge, whether it's experience, whether it's wealth. Such situations have been experienced already in the world. Man is so wealthy and so prosperous, so powerful. He walks out and he's got security and guards all around him. You have to make appointments upon appointments to meet the person. You can hardly get to greet him. But by the night, before the night can end, and there he's in handcuffs and he's put against the wall, and then they are preparing to shoot him and he cries out to them, but I am that very person that had saved you. I had saved your life. I had interceded and I saved your life, and today you are putting me against the wall and you want to shoot me. He says, yes, this is the order that has come from above that I shoot you. So this is the unpredictable nature of life, whether it's wealth, whether it is anything else, but it's unpredictable. So the only thing that is absolutely guaranteed is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala grants us material, and the reason for Him granting us material, perhaps one reason is that when He grants us that material, we have a little bit of an understanding as to the comforts and the luxuries of the hereafter. Imagine if Allah ta'ala were to speak about pomegranates and anar, and we had never tasted it, we have never seen it. Could we have ever appreciated it? We could have appreciated it. We spoke about the woman of Jannat, and we don't know what a woman is like, the beauty, the charm, the attraction. Could we ever appreciate? We couldn't have appreciated. We spoke about the gold and the silver, the musk and the zafran, and the perfume of Jannat. If we didn't have anything before us to understand and appreciate that, we couldn't have understood what Allah Ta'ala has got in store for us in the hereafter. So He's given this that we begin to have a small understanding, a slight understanding as to the comforts and as to the luxury that Allah Ta'ala has prepared for us in the hereafter. This is one reason, right? The other reason why Allah Ta'ala has kept this material in abundance is that Allah Ta'ala has kept the love for wealth and possessions in our mind. Why? Is that in this whole competition and in this chase for the wealth and for name and glory, etc., this chase and this effort, this struggle, it facilitates life in this world. If there wasn't this type of chase, there wasn't this type of struggle in the world, then perhaps to facilitate life in this world would have been very, very difficult. Imagine if our brains and understanding was like an animal, right? The animal is just content for its meal for that day, right? A cow, a goat, a little bit of grass or fodder it's got, it's quite comfortable, end of the day. Now, what would have happened to us if we had that capacity? We could have just been planting some mealies or something in the backyard, sufficient to see us for the day, and we would continue with our lives. Now, would that been able to keep the life floating in this world, facilitate? No, can't. So Allah Ta'ala has created this inclination towards the life of this world, created inclination towards the beauty and the attraction of the world, and through this He facilitates life. That one person he's inclined towards industry, for example, and because of his inclination towards industry, now winter comes about, people want something warm. So he is producing thousands and thousands of winter warm, and this is in turn facilitating life on this world, right? Same with food and everything else. So one person has been given that type of love and inclination towards world, and then he looks out, he speculates what he needs to do, and he chooses a certain thing, whether it is industry, whether it is farming, agriculture, specializing in some field. But because of that person going that, then he makes life much more easier upon this planet, right? So perhaps these are the reasons why Allah Ta'ala has granted us this type of inclination towards the world. We inclined and we are tempted, right, by the beauty. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ. So this is within our nature. You can't wipe it out. You can't cut it off. You can't obliterate it from your nature. Okay? Can't. Try and do it, you can't do it. And nor is the Quran telling you that obliterate it, wipe it out of your system. Because this is how you've been created. When you're created like this, you can't obliterate it, you can't wipe it off totally. Like asking a person that don't be tempted towards woman. Is it possible? It can't be possible. He will be tempted towards it. Don't be tempted towards good food. He will be tempted, it's natural. So you can't wipe it out of his system. That's part of his system. He can't be wiped out of his system. And there is wisdom for Allah Ta'ala placing this, instilling it into his system. Like I explained, one is to facilitate life. And one is to be able to understand the beauty, the grandeur, the greatness Allah Ta'ala has got for us, the luxury Allah Ta'ala has got for us in the hereafter. Imagine if there wasn't these things, then could we have been tempted towards it? You would have been tempted, the palaces Allah Ta'ala has got, and beneath which rivers flow, the woman, the trees, the orchards, and the beautiful scenery in Jannat, Mala Ainun Rat, that it's unimaginable, unperceivable. You can't even perceive it's so great. It's so great. It's just given a small glimpse of it in the Quran Sharif that this is what I've got for you. Uiddat lil muttaqin, I've prepared for this verse. But to get the actual understanding of it, you can't. In this world, you can't get it. You have to move across to understand what Jannat is. See? Like it is impossible to make a child understand, child 5 years of age, understand what is the beauty and the attraction that is in a woman. Equally, it is impossible for you to understand what is Jannat. Exactly. You can't understand it. I may go on explaining you the sweetness of a mango or of a mandarin or any other fruit which you have never tasted, but you can't understand the reality of it. You won't understand the real taste. You will have to taste it yourself to understand it. So these are the reasons why Allah Ta'ala has made this attractive in our very nature. It's natural for us to feel attracted. It's not unnatural to feel attracted to this. But then, for what reason has Allah Ta'ala placed this within our nature? So then, the actual reason is, Allah Ta'ala will grant us all these things, all these favors, take these comforts, these luxuries, attractions, temptations. I've given you all. Now, after I've given you all, I want to see the person who gets drawn into this, he gets caught up into this and begins to become oblivious of his duties to his actual original end. And that person who can just use it according to necessity and continue on his path. So there will be two people. One is that person is going to get drowned. He's going to get sucked into this system and he's going to get caught up in this circle. He will not be able to come out. This property, this wealth, this business. And he goes around and around and round on that circle. And he feels he made tremendous strides in this world. Whereas what stride? In India you get that buffalo, you know, that bull that goes around the mill, making, producing oil, you see. Goes around. So it has to go around, turning around that lever, and the lever in turn will move the mill, and the mill will produce that type of oil. So that cow thinks, when it's made the 100th round, what distance I've covered. But the person that is wise, he will see, by, you are at the same spot where you started. You haven't gone anywhere else. So you can go around, round and round the world, but you're still there. You haven't moved anywhere. You haven't progressed. You're still the same. You've still got the same needs, the same requirements, the same type of problems, the same type of risk, danger is awaiting you. You can't say that you've escaped it. As long as you're in this world, you're the same thing, the same risk as awaits you. One woman was in labor, you see. She was in labor, and one majzub, one pious person, he passed by and he asked, why is there groaning sounds? You know, this woman is in labor. It's all right, there's going to be a woman that's going to be born. There's going to be a girl that's going to be born. And write it down. This girl is going to be born and she will commit fornication 100 times. And eventually she will be killed through the venom of a spider. She will be bit by a spider and she will be killed with that. So anyway, when the worker of that house heard that this girl is going to commit this fornication, so a dirty act, so he stabbed the girl and he thought he killed her and he ran away, escaped. The mother somehow stitched the wound, caught her right. This person that had escaped, after some time he became very, very wealthy, extremely wealthy. Came back to the town, now people don't recognize him, they can't understand who this person is. So he says, now I want to buy the most expensive mansion. They showed him this is the most expensive mansion. Very, very high, lofty building. And I want to marry the most beautiful woman. These are two, three things that people look for. It's position and comfort. What else? Some type of position, recognition, comfort, luxury. These are the things that man runs after. So, he proposed for that most beautiful girl. And anyway, they got married, both of them. So, somehow, it leaked out to this man that proposed that this was the same girl that you stabbed. So, are you that woman? Somehow, they got into a conversation, and the man realized that this was the same girl. Now, she's grown up, and he had stabbed her. So, yes, I'm that girl, and this is the wound that I had, and it was stitched. So, alright, then, if you are the same woman, have you fornicated 100 times? Yes, I can't remember, but it is around there. So he says, well, but then it's meant for you that you will die by the biting of a spider. So I don't know about that, that's the future. Anyway, he built up that mansion that was already built, he raised it even further up. He said, I'll raise it so high that it will be virtually impossible for a spider to get up. In all that lofty building of his, she, that means his wife, she saw a spider. And she's thinking to herself, yes, you are the thing that's going to kill me. So she went and tramped it, and not realizing that some of that venom, that poison got into her, and that became the means of her death. So no matter what you are, where you go, what type of comfort, what type of luxury, the nature of the world is such that these dangers, the risk, problems must come. Sooner or later it must come. Sickness, illness, problems, difficulties. You can't escape. So it is that circle. If you are looking for comfort and luxury in this planet, then you have been caught in the circle. You have to look beyond the circle if you want comfort. Out of the circle, if you want comfort, then it's lying there. Within the circle, you're not going to get it. Because it's not been designed. Some danger, some problem, some difficulty is awaiting you. So this is the very secret why Allah Ta'ala has designed it in this way. The Allah Ta'ala wants to see who's getting sucked and drowned into this, and who's the person that is just using this world as a vehicle to go across. One is that person who would use it just as a vehicle. I need this type of facilities, etc., to move across. To move into my original goal, I require these things. So I need this as a vehicle. And the second person is that person is going to be caught and is going to be drowned in that luxury, in the comfort. Now, in the lap of luxury, then Malakul Maut announces, bride, your time is up. Empire gives a signal, you're out. The wickets are already dropped down and you're out. Can you contest it? Can you dispute it? You can't dispute it. The plane has arrived. It has arrived, and the steward or the pilot, now he announces that you have arrived already and all passengers must disembark. Can you go and challenge the captain? Say, no, I can't disembark. No, bye, you have to. And if you ever challenge him, they'll just bundle you up and move you out. So this is the nature of the world. You can't. No matter what you try, how hard you try, what glorious dreams you are dreaming about, but it must come to an end. So before that comes to an end, then prepare that goal of yours. Prepare that abode of yours. That when the time comes, you are prepared. You are looking forward to the journey. You are not looking backwards. You are looking forward to the journey. You are happy. You are anticipating. You are longing for the journey. But 4 or 5 youth, they had resolved that we are going to exert ourselves in ibadat. We are going to exert ourselves in ibadat. And they, according to how they had resolved, they exerted themselves. And they exerted themselves and exerted themselves. One person passed away. The second person passed away. The third person passed away. So the fourth youth, one old man came and he thought, I will advise this youngster, by you exerting yourself and you overexerting yourself is not right. He thought that I will advise this youngster about it. So before the old man could say anything, the young boy, the young lad, he tells the old man, "And old man, perhaps you come here to explain to me, to just calm things, to take things with moderation." The old man said, "Yes, this is what I've come for." So, well, it's not going to be fair for me, because we were four youth, and we had already resolved that we're going to exert ourselves. Now, these three people had exerted themselves, they prayed and they worshipped until Malakul Maut came and he took them away. Now, if I'm not going to exert myself, I'm not going to do something, then it will be against the agreement that we had come through. We had made this agreement, we had resolved. They had exerted themselves and Malakul Maut had come, and they have gone to that abode. And I am the one that is left, so it won't be fair. I have to play my part as well, like they played their part, and Allah Ta'ala has blessed them with good death, Allah Ta'ala has taken them to Jannah, and I need to do the same. But anyway, this is just an anecdote, it's a story. It's true though, we need to exert ourselves in the guidance of a guide, not on your own. The hadith says that you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that people say that you are mad, right? It's alright if people say you are mad, but Allah mustn't say you are mad. You really go off, that's not right. They will say you're mad if you are always with tasbih or something. Because they say, you know, you don't have a taste in life. Alright, it's alright if they say you don't have a taste in life. But if your mind is gone off really, then that's a dangerous thing. So this has to be done, it should be done under the guidance of someone. Someone's guidance, someone's consult with someone, and then move across. Allah Ta'ala will take you safe across. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.